Director Bonoup said, my name is Christina Beato. I am the Deputy Director of the Pan American Health Organization. We are the regional office of the World Health Organization here in the Americas, as well as the oldest serving international health organization in the world. It was started in 1902. My training and background is academic. And why are you not moving? There we go. I want to give you an idea. We are part of the UN system. As I said, we're the regional office of the World Health Organization. We're also part of the Inter-American system. You might have heard of the Organization of American States. We are the health arm of that unit. Why am I going backwards? There we go. Regional structure. This is the WHO. We're known as AMREL, the American Regional Office. There's AFRO. Headquarters is in Geneva, Switzerland. Euro, EMRO, Zero, and WPRO. Those are all the regional structures of WHO, part of the UN system. Okay, I am getting very frustrated. True. Believe me, having kids, you get to be an expert then. PAHO's presence in the region. Each of these blue dots represents a headquarters office that we have. Well, headquarters is only one, but offices that we have in all the countries of the Americas. As Dr. Bonoup mentioned, I represent both the U.S. and Canada, as well as being Deputy Director and the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. Come on. Going backwards. These are the PAHO member states. As you can see, all the countries of the Americas. Participating states, because we started in 1902, if you remember the turn of the century, France, Netherlands, United Kingdom, and Northern Ireland all had representation here in islands in Central America and countries in certain areas of South America. Associate members, Puerto Rico, and that happened after World War II. Observer states are Spain and Portugal. That means that they don't get to vote. When we have votes, for example, we pick a director every 5 years. We just re-elected Dr. Mirta Rosas Prego as our director again. We abide by the UN rules, and the Millennium Development Goals are the first global development vision that combines global political endorsements with a clear focus on and means to engage directly with the world's poor people. And this is, not only is this a goal, it's also one of a, if you would want to call it, for lack of a better word, one of the principles that we abide by. I'll quickly run some of the critical aspects of the Millennium Development Goals: having extreme poverty and hunger, achieving universal primary education. And I'm going to put a caveat here. If you look at most countries in the world, the number one associated issue that can predict poverty is level of education, because economic development and education tend to go hand in hand. If you want to improve people out of poverty, they need to have an educated public. There are many countries, even in our own hemisphere, that have not achieved universal primary education. Promoting gender equality, that's critical if you want to have a society that has what we call social justice. Reducing under 5 mortality by 2/3, reducing maternal mortality by 3/4, reversing the spread of the scourge of HIV/AIDS, malaria, and TB. And currently, we're losing close to 2 million children a year in Africa still to malaria. Ensuring environmental sustainability and developing a global partnership for development with targets for aid, trade, and debt relief. I'm going to go quickly through this about PAHO personnel, because I want to give you an idea if you're interested in working, at least in the American regional office. The total staff at headquarters and the field offices are about 600. And I wanted to bring this up because I want to tell you what's happening. The aging of the workforce, specifically in our nation, and most of the people in our hemisphere as well. The staff retiring within the next 5 years, and I had my assistant Sandy look at this up, is 185. And 600 out of 185 in 5 years, that tells you the kind of turnover that we're experiencing. And this is not unique to PAHO at all. My previous life was at the Department of Health and Human Services, and I can tell you that the federal government is going through a very similar component. And before that was academics. And the same thing is happening in medicine, in clinical medicine and academics. with nursing, with physicians, with public health workers, which also means great opportunities for the younger people, but you have to be more than ever multifaceted and not just have one career, but literally be an expert in two or three different things, computers being one of them, people skills, and of course the whatever field your expertise is picked on. The three types of UNF staff contracts, international professional, national office, and general services, usually you don't get in the door in PAHO at a professional level unless you have a bachelor's degree. Now, master's, of course, is preferable, or postgraduate, because a lot of our opportunities, especially in countries, is professional. National officers are used when work requires an advanced education and has a national content. People usually are not hired to work here at the headquarter levels. The contracts are usually 2 years, and they're hired on a term-limited basis. And they must be recruited from within the countries that they live in. There are very, 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 very few agencies, whether it's public or private, that give the kind of benefits that the United Nations does. Very, very few. I didn't realize this until I joined, but it is an incredible opportunity. You get dependents allowance, special ed grants, end-of-service grants, annual leave of 6 weeks, medical leave, maternity leave, paternity leave, special leave, adoption leave. There's a pension that doesn't exist in many companies anymore. Accidental and illness insurance, which is one of the best, I believe, and it's good all over the area that you're working in. Compensation for work-related illness, injury, and death, and group life insurance. If you work 10 years at PAHO, you have medical insurance coverage for the rest of your life. Or at the UN system, I should say. International professionals are also eligible for education grant, mobility and hardship allowance, assignment grants, repatriation grant, home leave, and travel. And by the way, if you are a Brazilian and come to work at the PAHO headquarters for the UN system, the UN system will pay you and your family to travel back to your home country for your vacation, and you can take up to 6 weeks. That's the kind of benefits that they offer. So I think anybody who's really interested ought to really look at this. Non-UH personnel, most common PAHO contracts include short-term consultant, national professionals, contractual service agreements. Like all other organizations, the UN system really needs to start getting aligned with mission and outcomes. PAHO is part of that. We have a strategic plan for the first time this year. We're going to be measured on outcomes because member states, like any other member of any corporation, is demanding some sort of productivity and accountability and transparency for the investments that are being made. I think it's a welcome change. It's not unusual from everything that we do, whether you're in academia, state government, a private enterprise, a non-for-profit, or federal government. There has to be accountability and transparency. And so I think that this is good that it's coming to the UN system, and there's a lot happening there, which we hope to achieve that good business practice. Short-term consultants, I think it's a good way to get your foot in the door. It's a good way to get the experience and see if this is really the calling for you. It's basically to provide advisory or consulting services to a government or PAHO. Sometimes, this is very interesting, short-term consultants can either be at the beginning of their career, most of the time they're going to be at the end of their career. But that doesn't mean that it's not international health careers. A lot of our professional consultants have been people that have been in research and academia for a very long time, or have been government employees of their own ministries of health that are now seeking to go into the international health arena and have a wealth of expertise that they can share. National professionals are individuals hired within their own countries. Our population of employees at PAHO is a little bit over 2,000. That what we call, you know, true grant or contract employees are about 800 at the most right now. So you can see 12 to 1,300 are going to be either national professional, short-term contracts, or the others. Contractual service agreements. we hire either organizations or individuals. PAHO has an incredible flexibility to contract with entities or with individuals, depending on the expertise we're looking for. You may either work on our premise, or you may work anywhere around the hemisphere. You're paid upon delivery of the product or service, and that's a contractual agreement between you and PAHO. I'm going to start moving quickly because I want others to come up here. Why do we want people to really start looking at global health as a career opportunity? What's happening that global health is now becoming more and more a known entity and actually has a name, and there's schools that are starting to teach global health, and there are courses that are starting to focus on global health? Well, for one thing, it's the rapid pace of globalization that's demanding and driving this. Furthermore, there's a realization that there's a lack of trained scientists, health professionals, and public health workers that have the skills and the experience necessary to really be effective in a global health environment. There's increasing interdependence between nations. The world is becoming smaller. There's global determinants of health, global local interference that really affect all of us now. There's a relationship of health with trade, foreign policy, law, and security. As we become more and more aware of how small the world is, there are also increasing inequalities that we're able to detect. Even within our own hemisphere, the Americas, we're the most unequal in terms of those that have a lot and those that have very few. And it has to do with a multifaceted reasons and approaches that have been going on for centuries. But still they're there, and we need to work towards them. The complexity of global health governance, the increasing number and influence of new actors and alliances, many players like the Gates Foundation. Now Carlos Slim has a new foundation that's going to be quite a force in the new arena. Many NGOs that have been here for decades, mostly of them church groups. Emerging and re-emerging diseases that are coming up that we thought we had conquered once, now coming in different strains and in different ways. Like I said, we need trained human resources to be able to deal with this effectively. We have a program in international health. These are the countries that have participated. I have the slide presentation that I'd be glad to give with you. As you can see, ladies, you're taking over. I'm going to encourage the gentlemen in the room to please get more involved in these international things, or we're just going to be seeing ladies. Not that I don't always advocate for women, but I always think balance is the best way to go. Participants profile, most of them have been physicians, myself included, public health community, graduate degrees, health administration, and I'm moving. Anyway, I'll be glad to answer questions, but I have to let others speak. Thank you. God bless you, and have a great day. And we will move real fast.
Well, this is a sample. If you count the experience on the podium, you will have about 150 years of experience in different agencies. I'm going to just rush the introduction because their credentials are really admirable, and you can always click on the agency and you get a CV, but not only that, but you follow them outside and don't let them go back until you have your questions or we run out of time. The next speaker is from USAID, United States Agency for International Development. It's Dr. Gloria Steele, the Senior Deputy Assistant Administrator for USAID. She is managing by $2 billion in 2007, and she served as the Senior Deputy Assistant Administrator for the Bureau of Europe and Eurasia.
Very much. I am very happy to be here, and I do not have a PowerPoint presentation, so we will not struggle with that. Yes, I am the Deputy Assistant Administrator for the Bureau for Global Health. The Bureau for Global Health of USAID is the bureau that is responsible for it is the home for all the public, for all the health specialists in the agency, and we provide technical leadership, fund grants for research and other kinds of programs, and provide support for the field. Let me just start with AID. USAID is, for those who don't know, is the primary development foreign assistance and humanitarian assistance agency. Agency for the U.S. government. There are other federal agencies that get involved in international development now, but USAID is the lead agency in this area. We have a presence in 75 countries and programs in 100 countries. In health, we have programs in 50 countries, and we have about 20 health specialists in each of the countries. From 2000 to 2007, the foreign assistance going to health has gone up from just over $2 billion a year to $4.5 billion a year. And that's been primarily an increase in the U.S. government's assistance in the area of HIV/AIDS, which the president made a commitment of a $15 billion program for HIV/AIDS over 5 years. And the process is now ongoing for the follow-on. The current program ends in 2008, and a doubling of the program is anticipated right now, starting in 2009. Another big contributor to the program is malaria. In 2005, the U.S. government launched the Presidential Malaria Initiative, which is a $1.2 billion program over a five-year period. And other areas in health in which we work are family planning and reproductive health, other infectious diseases, TB, polio, and non-traditional diseases that we have not worked in a lot of areas, and health systems development. There are various, you can see from the level of assistance that there is a lot of commitment in health. And in fact, whatever administration, whatever political party is in place, health has remained a very major program in USAID. It accounts for more than half of the development assistance program in AID. Other areas in which AID is involved are democracy, governance, economic growth, humanitarian assistance, and health makes up about half or a little over half of that. So you can see that the commitment to this sector is very high. And what we're looking for people who are interested in working in AID is really, besides technical expertise, is compassion, a dedication to help save lives, to work overseas, and to help develop the capacity in countries overseas to be able to help themselves. There are various ways of getting involved in USAID. There are two general types of employees. We have about 8,000 employees in AID, and this includes Foreign Service nationals that we have hired in the countries in which we work. Like I said, we have a presence in 75 countries all over the world. And we have Foreign Service officers, and these are people who work primarily overseas. There are some Foreign Service officers in Washington, but the main assignment is in countries abroad. And then there are the general career civil servants who work primarily in Washington. The way to join the Foreign Service right now is through a junior program office program that we have. And I left some materials over there. A minimum requirement is a master's degree and some experience in international development or work in a disadvantaged community in the United States. One of the things that I started when I began work in the Bureau for Global Health is to have a paid internship program. There were two reasons for this. One is I wanted to make sure that we get a diverse population, a diverse profile of applicants. It's very expensive to live in the Washington, D.C. area. And while the federal government normally does not pay its interns, that really gave some advantage to people who could afford to live here. And I wanted to change the profile of our future employees of the United USAID. And so I started a paid summer internship program. And that would, you know, it's very hard to get employed if you don't have previous experience, but no one wants to give you experience, and so this is one way of getting you there. We also have a fellows program with a Public Health Institute, which is based in California. We have hired PHI to help us hire students, graduate students to come in, but in that program, we also have internship programs that will allow you to join AID. But basically, the main way of getting entry level for foreign service is through the junior program. The benefits are also good, probably not as good as in the UN. There are very attractive health insurance plans, housing and child care abroad, education allowance for all the dependents, very attractive retirement program, home leaves and rest and recreation, and language training at the Foreign Service Institute, and of course, a very attractive retirement program. Foreign Service officer is able to retire at age 50 and 20 years of service. That allows you to carry on a new career. And at age 50, 51, you can start a whole new career at that time, including going back to AID as a contractor. But in addition to the Foreign Service officers, we have the civil servants. And the way to get in through the civil service, the entry level, is through the Presidential Management Fellows Program. I would say that it's probably some of the best employees that I have encountered in AID since I joined many years ago is through the PMF. I am really quite impressed with the quality of employees that we've been able to attract to that program. And I understand that USAID has been an attractive place for PMFs to go to. And then there is the non-direct hire way of getting in. I have mentioned the program that we have contracted out through the Public Health Institute to help us get non-direct hire. Non-direct hire means you don't have a career in AID. You work for as little as a month to as much as many, many years. And that's one way. We also have what you call personal services contractors. And personal services contractors act almost like a career, but they do not have a security of tenure. I have known some who've worked for over 15 years under this program. You work directly for AID and not through a company. And that's another way of getting in. And then we have another program which we used to do through a cooperative agreement with another government agency that is in the process of being revised now, but that is another process. We hire a company to help us hire not entry-level, but rather mid-level and senior-level employees. Again, these are employees who will be on contract. These are people who basically have had many years of experience in any area that that AID is involved in, but particularly in this case, in health. It is very important to have a variety of expertise. I myself am trained in agricultural economics. I do not practice public health, but I manage the public health program, the health program of AID. But interest in business processes, since many of what we do is through grants and contracts through universities, research institutions, and not-for-profit organizations. It is important to be able to know how to write requests for proposals and how to manage projects. As I have said earlier, I think a dedication, compassion, and a commitment to help, you know, to help work in a development area is important. And that includes an understanding, or at least a desire to understand culture of other countries. I think that is very important in terms of being able to work effectively and design programs that are effective. An interest in behaviors, cultural anthropology. When I first joined AID, we had a number of cultural anthropologists on staff. We don't have very many of them, And I think that one of the things we're learning now is the importance of hiring people who understand culture, because a lot of what we do entails a change or an understanding in behavior of people in order to gain acceptance of different processes and procedures that we are introducing. Anyway, I have left some materials at the back if you are interested in looking further in a career in AID. I think it's one of the best careers that's available there, out there, and I have worked in all parts of AID, and I have never seen the kind of dedication that I have seen among the public health specialists and staff working in the health area in with AID. And if you have further questions, I'm available to talk to any of you. We are, by the way, ramping up hiring in AID because the level of funding just keeps going up, and we've realized that we're becoming vulnerable. We do not have enough staff, and of course, the highest level of funding has been going to health. So we need you, and get in touch. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And as you see, there is a competition on the benefits, and you're highly invited for that. But let's go to the practicality and nitty-gritty things for the young professionals and students, which is the Peace Corps. Our next speaker is the Deputy Director of Peace Corps, and she has been in this position for 6 years, Dr. Jody Olson. She has a master's degree in social work and a PhD in human development.
You've been hearing about culture, passion, caring, local language, being overseas for more than a year. How do you do it? That's why I'm standing here. Write down www.peacecorps.gov. That's how you do it. That has the nitty-gritty. I'm going to say why. 40 years ago, I was a Peace Corps volunteer in Tunisia, teaching English, doing maternal and child health. My degree was in sociology, very useful. I had read Dr. Spock, and of course when you read Dr. Spock, you know all about raising children. I was 22 years old. There was a group of women in a room where we were talking about maternal and child health with their children, their veils, all of the wonderful way that women sit on the floor in Tunisia. And I was going through, in my very limited colloquial Arabic, about why all these elements to prevent diarrhea were important. And I had confidence. I knew I was right. Halfway through the presentation, an older woman stood up, you know, pulled back the veils, and said in a very firm voice, "You give them rice." That moment changed my life. I learned that you have to know culture, you have to know the people you're working with, you have to establish trust, you have to learn language, and you have to work within the context of how they solve their own problems. I went back to the drawing boards. That's what Peace Corps is. That's why the 2 years as a Peace Corps volunteer provides the preparation for World Bank, for WHO, for USAID, for CDC, for HHS, for private organizations that work overseas in global health. Peace Corps volunteers are recruited any age. You have to be 18 years old and a US citizen, and 95% have at least a bachelor's degree. We're encouraging people 50 plus, but at this point, over 80% of all Peace Corps volunteers are under the age of 30. 60% are women, 40% are men. I was just noting that with the data. We would love to encourage more men to join. And you start with 3 months of training in the community, in the country in which you're serving. You learn culture, you learn language, you live with a host family every day. You learn the details of the technical skill you're going to give. Then for 2 years, you are in a community, and literally in a community, often still with a host family, and sorting out, thinking through, working day by day with that family, with that community. You get on average $200 a month, and almost all volunteers says that's plenty for what they need at the level of work they're doing. You get transportation over and back, you get all your health care covered. The goal is that during that 27-month period, as a Peace Corps volunteer, you need no dollars from anybody else for any purpose. We take care of everything. And you do a phenomenal job. Today, over the 46 years of Peace Corps, we've had over 190,000 Peace Corps volunteers serving in 139 countries. Today, we have over 8,000 Peace Corps volunteers in 74 countries. We're growing, we have tremendous support, and the interest of young people, all people joining Peace Corps is extremely high. What does that look like today? I was recently in Mauritania, and we were in a small community in Mauritania with a group of volunteers that were working on what we called the Hearth Project. This was a mother and child nutrition program, much better thought out than what I was doing in Tunisia 40 years ago. And this particular project is about working with mothers. And it's about, in working with mothers, how do you find the local products that give you nutrition add-on to what you're feeding young children? So when there's available peanuts, beans, corn, wheat, that you are grinding and working with the women and actually personally grinding the particular legumes that will work in adding nutritional value to the basic food that they feed young children. One level is, yes, you grind that all up and you put it in. But that's only the beginning, because that's extra work to grind. It costs a few extra cents to find those peanuts in particular. Why does a mother want to change a routine to add this extra for the young children? That's where knowing the language, the culture, the understanding, starting to where they think and do their own behaviors, that you are on the ground making a difference. One of the Peace Corps volunteers had a weekly radio program tied with this Hearth Project. She was on this little local station. It was almost battery operated. I was there with her one night. It was in the local language. She used the names of the women. She praised them personally on the radio and talked about what they had done to make a difference with their children, all in the local language. She had become known as that woman who knew them and spoke on the radio. They do local public stories. They bring women together and do storytelling about the difference that this nutritional project makes. This is what Peace Corps volunteers do. This is what that local specific active role that you play is about. This is what learning the language, what listening, what establishing trust, what saying to them is that you're learning as much as they're learning. You come back a different person. In addition, half of Peace Corps volunteers go on to graduate school, and we have Masters International programs and fellows programs at the master's level in public health. The graduate schools love return Peace Corps volunteers. I was at a graduate admission directors national conference, NAGAC, and I thought I was going to be pushing to say, please, 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 let return Peace Corps volunteers come into graduate school. And I didn't even have to say a word. They got up and gave the testimonials, so to speak, about the effectiveness of return Peace Corps volunteers in their graduate programs, including in health. The openings, the networks, as a Peace Corps volunteer, you work with local NGOs, and you are with these NGOs, meeting people, talking to people, and we do get some of the NGO people calling us and saying, wait a minute, now when is his end of tour date so that we can hire him, and we'll give him maybe one day off before we hire him. And I say, but make sure they finish their 2 years. Don't hire them while they're still a volunteer. But the networks that get built, the beginnings that are there are absolutely key. To be eligible to be a Peace Corps volunteer, you don't need to have international experience. You often don't need to have a foreign language. You need just volunteer experience. If you volunteered in an emergency room, if you volunteered building a team, if you taught foreign language to students in your community, all of these prepare you. That's why Peace Corps is the beginning. I want to remember www.peacecorps.gov. It has all the details. I want to close with just one quick story. 4 years ago, I was in South Africa at a PEPFAR conference for, you know, the president's plan for HIV emergency relief, which, by the way, almost all Peace Corps volunteers in Sub-Saharan Africa work in health or HIV/AIDS, and over half of all the volunteers in the rest of the world, directly or indirectly, are working with HIV/AIDS. So most volunteers, whether or not they're there as health workers, work in health. We were at the conference, and it was the first conference for American government officials from HHS, CDC, Defense Department, USAID, State, and Peace Corps, talking about collectively what we were doing in the 15 PEPFAR, the 15 focus countries. And we were on this panel, and we had an hour to present what our agency was doing in the field of health and HIV/AIDS. And we went down, time-wise, we were to the last 3 minutes when it got to Peace Corps. I was last on the list. And so he said to me that, you know, the ambassador said to me, well, you know, see if you can keep it to 3 minutes. And I thought, what can I say in 3 minutes about Peace Corps' contribution to public health and HIV/AIDS? I went up, I didn't know what I was going to say, but I tried. Anyway, I went up to the podium and I said to the group, how many of you are returned Peace Corps volunteers? Starting with the ambassador to South Africa, the then ambassador to South Africa, who raised his hand and said yes, over 40% of everyone in that audience gave this resounding yes, Peace Corps, 40%. This was USAID, State, and all the other agencies. I turned to the ambassador and I said, this is what Peace Corps is doing for health, for global health, and for HIV/AIDS. Join, start. My last little piece, we have many, many, many materials on the website, peacecorps.gov, and please use them. They're all about culture and health, preparation and health, daily life and health. Use them, use them, use them. Your tax dollar pays for it all. Thank you.